Well, very warm welcome, Mrs. von Braun, Professor for Literature and Gender Theory, Cultural Science at the Humboldt University, and you're also a well-known documentary filmer. Do you do films? No, hardly ever, hardly half the time. I would like to refer to something at the beginning. You wrote a book, a story about money. It's not an economic theory of money, of course, but if I dare say it's a gender theory of money, no, this is not the case also. But above all, it's an attempt to describe where money has its credibility or coverage from. And here, the human body plays an important role, the sexual body of both sexes. And how? Well, oh, good gracious. Well, let me try to explain this. Money, as you know, is a system of token or of signs, if you want to define it. And money has become more and more abstract and got away from material bonds. And roughly speaking, there are three forms of money cover. First of all, the link to material values. And this form of cover was lost when we gave up the gold standard. Then there's a second form of cover due to the authority. A state or a deity confirms the value. And this form of cover has been abused by rulers again and again, so as to spread money that has hardly any value, and this triggered inflation. It thus lost credibility. And then there's the third form of money cover, which has its origins in Greece due to the embossed coins there, onto which you could find a remembrance of the sacrifice in the temple. It's a sacral money. There is a sacrificial dinner that takes place in the temple, and all those that can participate can get a little skewer that is called obulus. We still know the term. And these little skewers has a sacrally confirmed value because there's an exchange with the gods, and they tell about the sacrifice and thus are owned by the gods. They are thus covered. And the skewers can then be found on the embossed coins. They will then enter trade, and in the economic system, they become important. And this is where the token signs of money start. But this refers to the sacral cult up to today. You can see this due to the fact that you see the coins. You know the American dollar sign, the S with the two vertical signs, the British pound with the two horizontal lines, and now the euro with the signs. These two lines are relics of the bull's horns that were coined onto the coins, minted onto the coins, and they remind us of the sacrifice up to today. But if you go one step back and ask what the sacrifice actually is, you have to answer that there were societies that made sacrifices, societies that interfere with the agriculture and nature. They thus become guilty vis-a-vis the deity, the god, and creation. And they try to settle their debts by sacrificing their first lamb or the first crop of the harvest. And behind each sacrifice, there is mankind. And this is something that you can see in many sacrificial cults. A sacrifice is only valuable if it contains something of myself. This is like in barter. I give you something and you give something in exchange. It was described by Lévi-Strauss. And this is the greatest sacrifice. The women in the community, for example, and they get a woman back from the other community in this sacrificial exchange. You need to include part of yourself in the sacrifice. And this also holds true for the sacrifice made to God. But what about the money now? but these were animals and objects. These sacrificial cults take place in the temples for sacrifice, and the first coins are minted there. And the sacrifice is to bring about fertility, and this is then introduced into the money system. And this is why we always speak about liquidity, growth, boom, etc. This is the vocabulary of the fertility logic. It is introduced in the money economy, but behind it we find the idea of a sacrifice. There is no fertility without a simultaneous sacrifice. But money in the holy area comes into being as a sacrifice there, you say. But how can it enter the profane world? Because the merchant trade, but this is not really like a mass in church, is it? No, well, it enters the profane world because it's the most credible form of money cover, because the two other forms of money coverage were not really acceptable. They don't go very far. So this was the next and most sustainable form of giving credibility to the money. And this is why the stock exchanges and banks that have their origin in the 16th, 17th century, they all have the architecture of the Greek temple. They launch an appeal to the credibility of the sacral sacrificial cult. Moreover, there was no other cult area highlighting this idea about sacrifices linked to incarnation. Only the Christian religion could convey this message. It is not a coincidence that money economy was developed further in Christianity and that capitalism has its origins in the Christian countries. The theory of Christianity was the ideal fertile ground so as to promote this idea about fertility. And you mentioned hell, for example. You mentioned the pawn shops and many institutions that were set up by the church, the purgatory fire, for example. And this was all about this. Is there a relationship between sacrifice and debt? Well, yes, there is a relationship. Guilty, being not guilty, innocent. And the Holy Father prayer expressly says, we do not forgive to our sinners, but we forgive the believers. And in the Italian language as well, there you could differentiate much better between guilt and debt. And here again, we have this economic vocabulary that is still contained in the Holy Father prayer. And I think you also need to consider a second idea and thought into the Christian logics of money. In all other religions where there is a sacrificial cult, humans give something back to God in this cult. The Christian religion is the only religion where God sacrifices himself in his Son, and he thus introduces the impossibility of a gift in return. That is something that you can give back. That means this this creates a guilt where there's no way out for believers. This might be one of the reasons why God needs to be abandoned. But this implies killing God. And this, again, is a guilt of human beings where people can't escape from in our culture. And this is one of the reasons of the economic idea of producing enough money so as to get rid of this guilt vis-a-vis God. This economic idea, I think, is one of the driving forces of capitalism. Interesting idea, because it means that the creation is infinite, but then there are human beings on the other hand. If we were Christians and if we think accordingly, we should know that our infiniteness is smaller than creation. So we can never achieve this point. Why do people think that it is possible? Because there's always someone who pays the price of the money. Until our modern economic times, this sacrifice official idea has been maintained. If Lehman goes bankrupt, well, there will be 6 million unemployed people. They will have lost their jobs and their houses because some thought that money can be produced and reproduced and multiplied. That is, you still have this cover that you can also find in the sacrificial idea. And this idea is still to be found in our economy. This is one of the insights that we can gain from the crisis. May I ask you about this? I read part of your book, and you mention the tokens, the signs of money. We've got hosts as coins. They have the same tasks, for example. But at the end of the day, everything is a body, isn't it? So at the end of the day, you've got substance of money. Although you've got the high value of the signs, if I got a 10 euro banknote, for example, is worth nothing. It is just a claim for the possibility in society, society taking it. If society does not accept it, it is worthless. It is just a sign for the possibility of a purchase. It is a claim that is not necessarily valuable. It is only valuable as long as you accept it. Well, if you've got a banknote, you're in a good position. But nowadays, we've got electric impulses. So if you're lucky, you can see them with your mere eyes, but you can't touch it any longer. This is very abstract. And these are just signs, and this has become even more important. And let me say it as follows. Due to these signs, you have this idea about cover. This idea of a cover that the human body needs to be used. And in my last chapter of the book, I wrote the following. I said, the way out of the money consists in the fact that you produce your own bodies in biocapitalism, for example, or in reproduction technology, where we now have frozen embryos, a frozen sperma. You can get it much cheaper than frozen eggs, etc. But in any case, they are to be found in some benches. They can be retrieved, and they have become the possibility of the money to generate its own offspring. May I ask another question? The way you answer the first question, you are at the same track as I am on Christianity. I read the second chapter about guilt and debt, and you highlight the Jewish influence in Europe. Maybe you can put this in a relationship because you haven't mentioned it yet. Well, I have tried to describe the Christian logics of the money and how it is linked to the antique logics. I've shown money in Islam. How important is it? How does it work in the Jewish religion? There are the Talmud academics, and they always ask, "What money can I accept?" And they say, money is covered by noble metals. Either this was a general form of money coverage, or it is a current, which means a coin whose face value is equal to the value of its constituent metals. But you will never find the sacrificial idea here, the idea that the money is covered and credible due to a sacrifice is something you do not find in the Jewish religion. Quite on the contrary, if a believer wants to make a sacrifice in a temple and has to walk for a long way, maybe with his lamb in his arm, and he will not get to the point, he will not get to the temple, then he can use the lamb. He can sell the lamb at the place where he is. And once he will have arrived in Jerusalem, he will be able to buy another lamb. He is not allowed to make a money sacrifice in the temple. So you've got a different logic of money cover in the Jewish religion. And this, again, is a very interesting to take into consideration for what is happening in the Christian society. Another question to you, please. Honestly speaking, I've not finished your book. I'm not that fast. But What about the future of the development of money? How do you see it? Because we are in a turbulent and ambulant field of financial and capital market development, and experts disagree with one another. They don't know what the future will hold in store. Now, if you take into consideration the historic development, can you make a forecast into the future? Well, I can give it a try, of course. Well, we do have the possibility, some way or another, to introduce regulations for these signs and tokens. They can be multiplied, of course, but this always has a price and comes at a price. And if you think about the idea of reciprocity, Ulrike Fedder mentioned this as well. That is a society of a gift. That is, I am a member of a community. I'm part of a community. In the feudal system, you had very strict social barriers. We do not want to have this any longer today. But there is this idea of reciprocity, which can be adopted. In other words, if money is supposed to have credibility, you need to have a credible community so as to guarantee this idea of reciprocity. Now, you can say in the past centuries, we believed in the money, first of all, because a ruler gave credibility to it. This was ended with the French Revolution. Then there was the national idea as an underlying idea of community. But we start abandoning this as well, luckily. And what is left is only that we together talk about this principle and reciprocity and try to obtain it. We thus need a codification and a law. We need to believe in a codification which kind of reflects this reciprocity. And here I see a possibility of getting away from this sacrificial cult of money. In the sense of believing in social justice, if you want to call it social justice, although this is a very abstract term, of course. So social justice as a new idea for forming a community. I think it is very nicely represented in the new Euro banknotes. They all show buildings, but no existing buildings. These are abstract buildings we can see on the Euro banknotes. And if you want to have a visual representation for the code and the law, it is the construction, it is a building. So maybe this is a conscious or unconscious thought that has been established in Europe when the nation was succeeded by the new community. There's no vision of Europe in the banknotes. The banknotes are an anti-vision kind of. Yes, that's right. But you get an idea about a construction that exists that might be a possibility. Although I have to admit that a code and an act is something very, very abstract. So as to fill it with content and with human life, you need a lot of effort. We all need to make a great effort, but this is my hope that like this, we will get away of this idea of sacrifice and incarnation. Thank you very much. This was an almost theological end to it. Thank you very much indeed. Yeah.